Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Topic of the day, and of course it is the Knicks, BT, not off of their win last night, but ending the first half on a high note with the last couple of wins here and doing something that really the franchise hasn't done in a while. Ian Begley tweeted about this last night since the Pat Riley era in 91, 92. Only the third time, well, the Knicks have only done it three other times, have this many wins in this amount of games here. Knicks, of course, 36-18 going into the All-Star break. And, you know, I feel like we're, and maybe you more specifically, are not appreciating what they are or what they could be. Where last year I had that roadblock up because I didn't think they were talented enough, especially when Julius Randle got hurt. Mm-hmm. This year I still think it's all there in front of them. Maybe it's not likely. I still think that obviously you have to favor the Celtics, but I still think the Knicks could be a championship team.
You ever, I don't know if you got this when you were a kid. Well, did you ever go to Disney when you were a kid? Like with your family, like kid, young?
Oh, no, we went to Universal Studios once.
Okay, gotcha.
I was deprived.
You always got
thanks, Dad. You screwed us over. No, no, I was like,
I got you. I remember,
did you,
like,
you went to Disney as a kid.
Yeah, okay. That's what really. We didn't really take a lot of family vacations because, you know, there was so many baseball games you know, whatever. But the we went to Disney a couple times, right? For sure, no question. And I remember, like, in the '80s, and I guess even into the early '90s, they had these. Like, you, I don't know, you'd go on a vacation and you'd kind of look at this little thing, not a kaleidoscope, but it would have like a picture montage of whatever you just did. Okay. Maybe something from Disney, maybe something from the Poconos, maybe something from Acapulco, whatever. Right. When I look through that, and I'll just call it a kaleidoscope now. When I look through that last year, I love what I saw. When I look through it this year, I don't like what I see. Because the standard of criteria and the points of emphasis and evaluation for me are very different. Last year, it was organic. It was early in the ascent. And the not that I was just going to be less critical because it was early, but it just seemed like it was like there was so much more to go. And this year, I feel like something's off. And something's off in the, whether it's a chemistry thing or certainly a defensive thing or an offensive rebounding thing. I know Mitchell satisfies some of that stuff. And that's a big thing.
Yeah.
But the connectivity with this team, both on the court in terms of chemistry and the results, the statistics, reinforce what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is the kaleidoscope's just not as attractive this year.
Okay, I understand what you're saying where something may feel off, but what about the offense? The offense is on par, if not better, than any offense in the NBA statistically. Even with it being a new team throughout the first half, they have the fourth best record in the entire league while still gelling. And you mentioned Mitchell Robinson, also missing a big piece in Mitchell Robinson that should be the final piece to make everything else fit. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to be NBA champions when he comes back, but all those things, like, it's one half of basketball with a brand new team without a key part of that team. It's still, they still have some time to gel here and get Mitchell back. And ultimately, with the talent, with the offense they have, they could theoretically beat anybody in the league where I didn't feel that last year. So I know what you're saying. I just think that this year, to me at least, the sky is the limit, whereas last year I had the roadblock.
Okay, you take any champion, right?
Yep.
And there's generally a very fast ability to identify, like, their identity. I know that that sounds repetitive, but, you know, you think about the Warriors. What was their identity? I mean, they're just going to shoot you out of the gym. You know, what was the, maybe the Yankees early dynasty from 96 on? You know, great bullpen, clutch play, you know, Jeter clutch, buttoned up clutch. What was Bill Parcells' as Giants champions? Like, what, even though they had a couple of different quarterbacks when Phil went down, Hostetler took over. But I think the identity of that team was they possessed the ball, but they were their defense, man. Their linebackers, Lawrence Taylor, like, easy to identify their identity. What's the Knicks' identity this year?
Yeah, I mean,
what
I'm
genuinely asking.
I do think it is their offense. I think it's Brunson and Carl Anthony Towns in their offense.
I would agree.
Right now.
True, but we're just talking about right now. Yeah. Outside of the Warriors, and even they had Draymond and Iguodala, who's a really good defender who won the MVP. As you know, the first time they won the championship, it wasn't Steph or Clay, it was Iguodala. So the Warriors team was offensively, historically elite. Outside of them, how many other teams win championships with their identity as an offense in the NBA?
Well, I mean, I feel like in today's NBA, a lot more. Now, again, we could go back and go over the champions and do the research, and I still think the Celtics are a better team. But let's say the Knicks, it's not like they don't have the potential to shoot the lights out for 4 of 7 games. Wherever those 4 games may be, they could still do that. Is it likely? Maybe not, but it's still possible, and that's why I still have hopes of a championship. Whereas last year, once Randle went down, to me, it was over. If something like that happens now to this year, look, if Anunoby can't come back and be healthy, obviously that's a big part of things here. But I'm assuming he's at some point going to come back.
I'm actually not worried about him. Okay. I think he's going to be back. I think he's all right. Fine.
But Mitch is always banged up. So is Anunoby. He's always freaking hurt.
Yep.
So they can't. If Anunoby's not healthy going into the postseason, there's no chance they can win the championship as far as I'm concerned. So they need him to come back. They need Robinson to come back. And then they need to gel as a team. But I like their chances with the offense that they have. And as a matter of fact, I just want to see it before I write them off or say I'm disappointed so far. I may be slightly more discouraged than I thought I would be, because even with the record, watching them, I just don't feel like I'm watching a championship team. But it is the first half, and even with all that, they still have one of the best records in the league.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I know, but here's the other thing to consider, too. Let's say the defense does get, and it's going to get at least slightly better with Mitch. There's no question about that, so I know that. But now let's take Brunson and Towns. Let's kind of branch off to a different part of the discussion. Now we know he's a star and he's our superstar. Is Jalen Brunson the kind of absolute player who into mid-June is going to be that kind of player? Debatable. Is Karl Anthony Towns more debatable? Because for his 9 years with Minnesota, he was never in that position except once, and he was awful. Awful in the Western Conference Finals. So we can, and the stats were just, I mean, they were unsightly. They were morbid. So we could talk about, you know, the Knicks defense, this, and the Knicks team chemistry, the Knicks energy. I also do have a fear that their two best players aren't good enough.
I think that could be the bigger problem, where you see Tatum and Brown and you look at champions. They have been champions. They play like champions night in, night out. Whereas Karl Anthony Towns, I have my concerns about postseason performance based on what he did in Minnesota. And with Brunson, he's been great here, as great a Nick as I've ever seen. I love Jalen Brunson just as much as I loved Ewing or Starks back in the day. Like,
me
he
too.
The Knicks back
me
up.
Too.
He embodies everything you could possibly want in an athlete. But I do think you get to certain points, and I always use this like with the Matt Ryan analogy, who Matt Ryan arguably could be a Hall of Famer, was an MVP, but was never like at Rodgers' peak. He wasn't as good as Rodgers to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
Eli in the postseason, like, Ryan never had that type of run in the postseason. You could go over Russell Wilson. Like, there was, same thing with Ewing. Ewing and his peers. And I love Ewing. You know that. You brought up the Olajuwon stuff. Like, Ewing and his peers, was he as good as David Robinson? Was he as good as Hakeem Olajuwon or Shaq when he came into the league? You might be seeing that with Brunson. He's great. He's our superstar.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you just run into guys who are just better. And even though he's great and a star, maybe the other guys are just better. And unfortunately, that would result without a championship.
Which would be workable if Karl Anthony Towns is not the player that he was in the conference finals a year ago.
Right. If
you know what I mean? Or even the way he's looked so far against the Celtics.
Which is why I like that they put these two together. Now we just got to see it play out. The other thing, BT, was, of course, the Jets releasing the official statement. Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, Woody speaking today, that it's over with Aaron Rodgers. It's official, or will become official, I guess, June 1st. Jets will likely designate Rodgers as a June 1st cut, meaning he would have to stay on the roster until the start of the year, the league year, March 12th. And then he'd be able to sign elsewhere on March 13th. And also the cap hit, this is Rich Cimini had this, just like you've been saying, BT, by doing this, it's going to be a $23.5 million cap charge until June 1st. On June 2nd, it drops to $14 million, so there's a little cap relief now. But then next year, they're going to pay $35 million in dead charge in 2026.
And eventually, we'll get Davante Adams' name, you know, thrown in this list. I believe with him, it's around $30 million in terms of dead cap money. So listen, this stuff is very confusing. I don't profess to know all the all the inner workings of this. I truly don't. I try to stay on top of it, but it's really mentally paralyzing because it is fungible. I know Tiki uses that word a lot, but it really is. So what appears to be real is not. What appears to be fake, you can manipulate anything you want, right? So I just as a concept and getting away from the money, I don't like what they're doing. Like I'm okay with them moving on from Rodgers because of the way it went. And right. I wanted Rodgers to stay, but based on the reporting, if that report is accurate from Diana and The Athletic, that they gave him a chance to change some things. He didn't want to do it. All right, we're going to move on. That's fine. I respect that tremendously that the Jets are that focused and that committed to a quick decision and quick resolution, unlike other Jet regimes. That's good. But, you know, if you're going to do that and eventually get rid of Davante Adams, and who knows, they might even mess around and trade Sauce. I don't know what else is coming, or Quinnen Williams, whatever. If you're going to do that, why are you going to have $35 million bleed into the next season? I would just prefer, not that I want to go 2-15, but I don't think that they will no matter what they do, with whether it's taking it all now or next year. So to me, just absorb it now and be clear and free of the Rodgers experiment in 2026.
I'm with you. I'd rather just take it on the chin for a year and then move forward with a clean slate. I do understand that they're going to try to be competitive this year as best they can, and this helps. And then obviously take a little more of a hit in the second year of it, and that's what happens. Like, Jets made this move to go all in for Rodgers. It's a failure. I feel like we kind of did this show though. We talked about the Rodgers stuff when it came out. Like
we did.
Yeah, we put that to bed. So for me, while it's a newsworthy story and having the quotes from Woody and Glenn and Muji on it, the next real juicy thing is going to be Rodgers. I want to hear his side of things. We know that the marriage is no longer in existence. We heard the reports about from the Jets side of things. I want to hear from Aaron Rodgers whenever that may be and wherever that may be.
That's going to be by far the juiciest stuff here. But I do think this is not as juicy, but certainly juicy, like, because it does give you a little bit of a look into their soul. Like, so if I can piece some things together, and I might not be right on this, but do you think it's unrealistic for me to throw this out there and say that, okay, based on the report, and if it's accurate, what they're doing for 2026 with the $35 million, meaning they're going to have more room this year, and they're going to try to be more competitive. Do you think that in their minds, they're doing that to make a run at a Sam Darnold for bigger money?
I can't imagine.
Stafford for bigger money? Like, if you're doing it, you're doing it for the quarterback position, don't you think? Not the rest of the roster.
I think it's a great question. Yeah, but who's going to be Justin Fields?
I don't know, but I don't think Fields is going to command that kind of money.
Yeah, but maybe they just went. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. We didn't think Daniel Jones would get what he got. He ended up getting that. Maybe Fields in a quarterback market that is going to have a lot of teams desperate. If you don't have one, you want a guy maybe with the potential that he has. What did he get last year, Fields, with his contract?
I want to say 14. Yeah, I could be off on that.
Off the top of my head.
Feel so, like it was that.
Which is light, I would think.
It's pretty light.
He's still going to get that. Maybe they should be able to fit him in. Yeah, I mean, you're right. We'll find out.
That's an important question
to me. Those are going
to
be the interesting next steps, or potentially trade up for a higher draft pick maybe. And then maybe
They could. I'm not saying
for just a quarterback, but just trade up and give themselves more flexibility. I don't know. But I think that they're going to try to be, clearly, this is them saying that they're going to try to be more competitive this year, and knowing that they're going to take it on the chin both this year a little bit and then next year. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We've been talking a lot of Knicks. Frank is in Roseland, New Jersey. What's up, Frank?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good.
Hey, buddy.
I called you guys maybe 2 weeks ago, I think prior to the trade deadline, about what the Knicks were going to do with the rim, like who they were going to acquire, what made the most sense. And my point was that the lineup, the starting five, is not going to change. And I was listening to you guys earlier. I've been on hold for a while. Normally, I agree with you, BT, on a lot of stuff about the Knicks. But with your points about Bridges, I know we lost energy and a personality with Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, mm-hmm. but Bridges being a guy who plays every game, plays so many minutes, is a terrific defender. I think you're going to really love to see what he does the latter half of this year and into the postseason. I know I get like what you're saying from an energy standpoint. I don't think he's a vocal type of guy, but his numbers are the way they are because he doesn't really shoot as much as he used to on other teams.
Yep.
Like he's a role player now, and I know you mentioned like him being a role player, not a star. I think that's what we want. I think we want him as a good role player, not being a star.
Frank, not for five first-round draft picks.
You could find a role player for a lot less than that, Frank.
Yeah, but that's just vernacular at this point. Call him role player, call him a star. Like, what he gives you and what you gave up for him, I think is still worth it. I mean, we haven't seen the numbers, like I said, because he's just not shooting as much as he used to, but he's still impactful.
Okay, but don't you think that he should be being more impactful or shooting more? If I had to ask you, who do you think are the Knicks' biggest scoring options right now? Rank them. Brunson and Towns, go ahead. Assuming full health.
And then I would have, in a perfect world, Bridges 3, but it's really him and Ananobi.
It's been Ananobi. And by the way, and thank you for the call, Frank.
That's right.
Hart has been more impactful. Like,
Hart gets points without plays being drawn up for him.
I'm just saying, not score necessarily, but he's been more impactful, far more impactful than Bridges. I'm not trying to pick on Bridges. I understand what Frank is saying. Like, you can't have four or five stars, but there's no reason. Like, Bridges should be higher on that food chain than Ananobi, and he's not. Ananobi's...
Why do you say that? I'm not even sure I disagree, but why do you say that? I mean, OG's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I know that. He's good.
But
I think Bridges
higher?
I think Bridges' offense... Well, really both. They should both be similar wing perimeter defenders, right? OG's, that he's known for that. Bridges, same thing. I think Bridges' offensive game is much more...
Polished?
Maybe not even polished. There's more to it. Than OG Ananobi, where OG Ananobi, we talked about this last year.
I
know OG expanded his offensive game as opposed to just being a spot up three shooter last year when they had to out of necessity because everybody was hurt. Bridges is better. He should be able to score the basketball from anywhere on the floor. There's a reason the Knicks gave up five picks for him. Like, he should be their third best scoring option, and Ananobi should be a guy who's a defender, a spot up three, knock down the three, and it's not like that. OG on Ananobi, when healthy, has been more impactful than Bridges.
Listen, Bridges is obviously very good, and this is going to sound like a diss, and it's certainly not, because I'm happy he's here, but if Bridges went to Creighton or Bridges went to USC instead of Villanova, they give it up five first-round picks for him?
I think it's a great point. They thought he was more of a fit because of Villanova. I mean,
there's a premium for the chemistry, which is not as evident as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Would DiVincenzo have been here if not for that? You know what I'm saying?
I think well, that at least worked out.
It's not like Bridges has been a bust.
But think about what they gave up for DiVincenzo. They gave him nothing to get him.
I get it. But when you give up that much, you're not bringing in a role player. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You
shouldn't be.
That's the move. To your point before, that was their final, like, this is it. This is the move. They made their moves, bringing in Towns and going all in to get Bridges. And... like, you can't just be... He's been okay, sure. He hasn't been bad, I don't think. I think people are jumping on him early, the awkward shot, whatever, the form. But he hasn't been, to me, that impactful player that I assumed that they were going to be getting when they gave it up, when they gave all those picks up to get him. By the way, he still might be that. Maybe he does, to the caller's point. Maybe he does that in the postseason of the second half. Maybe that's where the Knicks can start to take another level, another step to their game, if Bridges elevates his play in the postseason.
It's almost like they ran their best play, like football, third and nine. All right, a field goal does nothing for you. You got to get in the end zone. And you're third and nine, and you're right around, you know, the 30. All right, so you're not getting in yet, probably. What play do you run on third and nine? Well, the Knicks ran a play, meaning the play was Bridges, and it doesn't seem to be the best play that they could have run.
You're pulling out all the analogies.
I get ridiculous with these analogies, but I understand that. I know I am. I don't know. That's how I am.
We use the analogies quite a bit. Today, I feel like, has been a heavy beef
analogy. Jeff. Yeah, I'm still pissed off about the St. John's game, honestly.
We didn't get to that. You know,
I'm pissed off about that. Yeah. Not even at them, necessarily. You know, we're going to win 13, 18, 25 games. They're going to lose at some point. I just didn't sleep last night, dude. Right. I didn't sleep. And
I had some weird dreams now that you say it myself.
So have I the last couple nights.
Like stress about the show?
No, nothing about the show.
Nothing work related?
No, nothing, and nothing bad.
I'm not going to get into details of it, but Chris Olivero and Giannotti were in my dream last night.
Well, okay.
I don't know why that is.
I think I have a sense of why.
That's like taking work home with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I think I have a sense of why. Because how did we finish up the show yesterday? We were talking about Boomer and Geo. And you brought up Chris. You said the architect.
And I did talk to the architect after the show as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But still, I don't know why.
I mean, it depends on, like, what was the tone of the dream.
I'll tell you off the air. I don't want to say it on the
good
air.
Or bad?
It was, like, neither, but just something that I don't want to...
Gotcha.
I don't want to speak it into existence on the air. You know what I'm saying?
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, well, it's not that great. But
hold on. Yeah. Got a text here.
Susan?
From my girl. Let's see. Oh. Let's see. Let me read it. I want to read it to myself. I don't want to.
Yeah. I'll read it out loud. Come on. Give me all the.
You want me to read it out loud?
Yeah.
Did you think that
if you think she's okay with it being on the air.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay. I don't know, but it's nothing big. She goes, well, I wrote, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Sal just mentioned that you were in yesterday. Too bad we didn't bump into one another. Would have loved to say hi. And having said that, yes, you have to come in and do the card game with us. It will be epic. Sal said you had no interest. I say we need you. We need the legend.
And?
Right? You know, get the ego going a little bit. And she is a legend. No, I'm not good at that stuff.
I told you, that's what you said.
And then we get into the logistics. By the way, she'd be amazing at this because she's been in the booth for 40 years. Well, not 40, but 30 years doing things. She knows every play more than we do.
I was thinking about it.
Doing the out-of-town scores all those years?
Before I actually asked her, I was thinking about it. I was like, I wonder what pack would be best for Susan. Like, could we go 98, 95? Like, something like that where she was in the booth or covering the team that she would know. Like, you know, you don't need to go back to the 80s, but... The 90s, mid-90s, or even 2000s?
Yeah.
You know, we could freshen up a little bit with some different packs.
That's true. And then there's a couple logistical things, you know, about how it's a long commute which you said.
That I understand.
But now this speaks well for us. She says, but I was texting Boone, and he had a great time. He was really good, and it was a great spot.
Yeah. There you go. She loved it. All right.
She did. But she's not coming
all's
in.
All's well that ends well. Suffocation. No breathing. Don't give up. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Thursday, talking Knicks and some Jets as well, BT.
Yes, and I got a quick Met question for you, and I just want your quick first response. Huh? If you're a big Met guy, I want your answer as well. Now, I know that you guys saw this last night. Nick Pivetta just signed the 4-year deal with the Padres.
What did he end up getting?
I don't know. This 50? Was it?
For 55.
Okay.
Four for 55. I know it was 4 years.
And
there
was a qualifying offer there, too.
Okay,
so some trade or some draft stuff as well. Okay. So he is now with San Diego. Now, I did see something. I don't want to just throw ridiculous stuff out there that it looks like maybe San Diego is going to have a change of heart and they will keep both King and Dylan Cease, just to be fair to the conversation. However, if the Padres call you, first I want Sal, then Huff, and they say straight up, Dylan Cease, Jet Williams, what are you doing?
I am trading Jet Williams.
Huff, Jet Williams, Dylan Cease.
No.
Really? Why? You got to make that trade.
Jet Williams. I was just talking to somebody about him yesterday off the air. And getting my, you know, I don't know anything about Jet Williams. We know he's undersized. We know about the athleticism. The comparisons have been Dustin Pedroia, and the person, you know, somebody in the game would know and you know, has an idea of this stuff, has a background of it. Eh, what the hell? Zach Scott. I mean, the guy was a former GM. Sue me, Zach. What are you going to do? I was talking to him about it off the air.
That's awesome.
I don't even know if he said it on the air, off the air, whatever. But when I asked him,
it's great. Go ahead. So Zach Scott,
he's done
what
a nice job
say?
Contributing on SNY Baseball Night. You know, and he, from, you know, from a scout perspective, remember, he had a lot of success with the Red Sox organization.
Yes, he did. He did.
So I was like, what do you think? He said he likes Jet Williams, but the comparisons to Dustin Pedroia, he feels like, are not.
Okay, like, what's Williams? I think Williams is faster. Did Pedroia have more power? What's the difference?
Yeah, I didn't get into all those details.
Okay.
But remember, Pedroia was just a great player. I mean, the size is the comparison, and then I think people are hoping that, you know, I do feel like, I don't know, do you ever think Dustin Pedroia was the most athletic? Like, I feel like
No, I didn't. I think Jet's more explosive, quick twitch.
So maybe he's more athletic, but Pedroia, probably just a better player. I'm not even minimizing Jet Williams, but think about what you're asking, and that's why I'm perplexed as to why Hoff wouldn't want to give him up. I'm not worried about what Jet Williams is going to be eventually. I want the young control. How many years ago is he under contract here? At least two more, no?
No, just one year.
Oh, this is it?
That's it. Yeah.
So last year when they were going to trade him, that was the appeal last year.
Yep.
Maybe a little bit less. I'd still do it. I think you have Dylan Cease, although you probably could get him without having to give up Jet Williams, no?
Well, I just saw that proposed somewhere on social media. That's why I lifted. I didn't just come up with Jet Williams myself. But
so Cease only has this year on his contract?
That's it. Him and King, same thing. Well, no, actually King has an option for next year now.
So King's under more control than Cease's?
Yeah, they kind of finagled. Well, right? No, King has the finagled contract. Remember, like, they kind of did some kind of weird deal this year where it really hits after the season's over. It's some stupid, convoluted contract.
Yeah, I mean, so then after that, maybe I take it back, and Hoff was probably right. If you could get him without giving up Jet Williams, which you might be able to do, if he's only got 1 year left. Jet Williams is a top prospect, no? The Mets top prospect?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, he's the best center fielder prospect that we have. And let's be serious. Tyrone Taylor is not the starting center fielder for the next 5 years.
I know.
Neither is Jose Siri.
But I don't know if they look at him as that. Again, I don't know. We could find out and try to talk to some people and see what they think of Jet Williams. Hey, it'd be nice to see Jet Williams contribute at the big league level this year. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be the case. But when you're talking about adding Dylan Cease, here's what I'm trying to do. Let's simplify it this way. Forget the contract stuff. Forget the prospect ranking. Forget the price, what it would cost. Who do you think enhances the Mets' chances to win a World Series now?
The answer is Cease.
That's what I'm saying. So
I would do it as well.
I'm looking at it from that prism saying, Jet Williams could have potential and he's under control and I get like the value maybe off in my mind. But you add Dylan Cease to this Mets team, which I already think is loaded. Now they're even more loaded, and you're filling the probably greatest area of need, the starting rotation, with a high-end starter.
Yep.
I'm trying to win a World Series now.
I'm with you. I would do it, too. Now, listen,
So you would do
that? I would. Okay. I'm with you. I follow him. Like, you know, I see something written about him. I read it, but I haven't seen him play. But I am looking at his numbers, and I'd still make the trade. So, you know, he's obviously working his way around, so he's not at one spot too long, all right? But early on, when he was first drafted, he was with the Port St. Lucie Mets, and then he went up to High A in Brooklyn, right? And the two stops where he had a significant amount of at-bats, his on-base percentage was .422 and .451.
Right.
And one of the places he stole 32 bases. So
he's got to be able to stay healthy.
Yeah, he's an on-base machine, it seems. He runs like the wind. You know, 6 triples, so he's got a little gap power. Yeah, again, I don't want to turn into scout here with somebody I've never really seen play.
You mean he could be like the next Spencer Jones?
Yeah. I did not get favorable stuff. I was having a conversation, and I will not divulge the name. I did not get a real favorable report on Spencer Jones.
Again?
Yeah, yeah. I was told that there's people in the organization that think he is right now ready to play center field.
Okay.
He's got a rocket. Like, I actually went, you know, I'm a nutball
right
with this.
Yeah.
I actually went back to his perfect game profile, right, which is the amateur stuff, whatever, that like all right, the kids playing. And he's throwing like 95 miles an hour. And, he obviously playing outfield and first base. So he's got the arm and he's got the athletic profile to play center field. They don't know if he's going to hit. They're like,
see, this is
he's
why.
Never really hit yet.
Think about how absurd this is. Last year at this time, we were talking about Spencer Jones potentially having an impact on the Yankees last year. And if not, then he would be the replacement if they lost Juan Soto. Oh, it's okay because they need to make room for Spencer Jones if they lose Soto. And instead they go out and get Bellinger. And we're hearing Dominguez is going to be the favorite to get left field job. I haven't even heard Spencer Jones' name.
There's a reason for that. I'm telling you, I would not frame it as I'm not saying that the Yankees are down on him. That's right. Not the proper way to frame it. I would say that the Yankees just aren't quite as enthusiastic as they once were. And now I will inject this. I don't think there's any chance he makes the team opening day. I don't think there's a chance.
Yeah, and they wouldn't trade him for Corbin Burns a year ago.
I'm telling you right now, Caleb Durbin from this year, that's going to be Spencer Jones next year. You're going to hear Mr. Cashman tout him up, and all of a sudden he's going to trade it for
they traded
they,
Durbin.
Yeah, they traded Durbin.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Who the hell's Caleb Durbin? They got Devin Williams for him.
Right.
All of a sudden, before you know it, they're going to start.
Well, then why wouldn't you do the Jed Williams trade? It's the same philosophy.
No. I'm telling you, because Brian Cashman pulled it out of his you know what. Nobody knows what Caleb Durbin's going to do. The same way that all of a sudden you're hearing bad news about Spencer Jones. It's not really
good.
But
nobody knows what Jed Williams. I'm confused, Hop. I was just countering
off of your. You said Spencer Jones didn't hear really good things. I'm telling you, Cashman's going to flip him next year because he's going to make it sound like he's amazing. Like what they did to Caleb Durbin.
Durbin's gotcha. Nobody. The only difference there is that they made it sound like he was amazing last year.
Well, he was. No, right. They didn't make it. I mean, remember there was a stat where...
Well, then they screwed up.
Well, again, it's minor league. It's spring training. There was a stat. I don't know if you can find this. Don't even worry about it. It was very much in like a very...
Remember my nickname from last year? Stat.
Yeah, Spencer Jones. Spencer Jones Moss. Yes, of course, yes. I remember your nickname, dude. You and your stupid nicknames. But I remember there was a stretch where... because the fear in the Yankee organization was that he had too much swing and miss. Like, he just didn't make enough contact at the higher level. And then, you know, he's with the big team for a while, and he went, like, X amount of straight pitches without swinging and missing. I know that that's a very obscure reference from last spring training, but it stands out in my mind, like, which emboldened me, and I think others be like, oh, if the only fear about this kid is that he's not making enough contact, but here he is 37 straight, I'm just throwing a number out, 37 straight pitches without swinging and missing in Tampa, maybe he is going to be the real deal. But I I'm just telling you what I've heard, and I heard it from a very good source. I myself am no longer, you know, pumping the virtues of Spencer Jones. I feel like they don't view him the way they once did.
Which just is a lesson in pumping these prospects, whether it's Jet Williams or somebody else, hyping these prospects up, you never know. You go gaga for Spencer Jones a year ago, or it's Jet Williams, or it's this guy or that guy. This has been the issue for years. That's why I would probably trade the prospects, especially if it means being a World Series, you know, finalizing a World Series team.
I think, Hoff, I don't know. I just threw you down a massive rabbit hole. Did you actually find something?
I found something. It says Jones didn't swing and miss on a pitch until his 10th game of spring training.
I knew it was something nuts. Right. Think about this, guys. Now, he's 6'7". He runs like the wind. Remember, I also referenced that first to third was a tenth of a second slower than De La Cruz.
Right, so wouldn't that then tell you all these things that looked like it was going to be a surefire thing? Wouldn't that tell you then the next time somebody gets hyped up like that, like, I got to wait and see. That's why, you know me, I don't get it. I don't care about these prospects until they get here. Yeah. I want to see what they do here. This hype, all this talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe that is the prudent thing to do.
Even Volpe, Dominguez, Alvarez, like the guys who are actually having some success. Volpe is having some success.
Yeah.
He hasn't lived up to the hype. Alvarez has had some success. He hasn't lived up to the hype. Beatty, he's another one. Like, all these guys, show me the guys that have actually hit.
The one guy that we wanted to get rid of the most was the one guy who's really
Vientos,
good.
Vientos. Forget about what we were saying. The Mets were saying, Vientos. They showed you. They went and got J.D. Martinez. They kept him down in the minors.
Yep.
Brought him back up. He hits a home run. Sent him back down to the minors.
Get back to Syracuse, buddy. Yeah, thanks for the home run. Get lost. I know. But I do remember that stat. And thank you for that, Hoff. That probably wasn't the easiest find. But that excited me because I'm like, all right, he's 6'7", he runs like the wind, he's got a rocket, could play left, could play center, could play right, you know, lefty profile power, this and that, and okay, the only thing he doesn't do is make enough contact, but wait, he just went 10 straight games playing with the major leaguers. I know you're getting fed fastballs and the hitters are ahead of the pitchers. I know all this, trust me, but I'm like, wow, this young man just played 10 games down in Tampa in the Grapefruit League, and he hasn't swung and missed at the pitch in 10 games? I'm like, all right. But I don't think they like him anymore. That's the bottom line.
Some all less.
Yeah, exactly.
BT and Sal back on the band. Let's get to the phones, BT. We've been having some people holding on for a while. We've been talking some Knicks. I know we worked in a little baseball as well. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But let's hear from some of the callers here on, and also the Jets quarterback situation. And Eric is in Riverville, New Jersey. Want to talk about that exactly. What's up, Eric? What's your thoughts on the Jets quarterback situation?
Hey, BT, Sal. How are we doing, guys?
Good. What's up, man?
You know, it's interesting. I didn't think we would be talking about this necessarily today because I felt like we already had this conversation about 4 or 5 days ago when they dropped it on the Super Bowl. But my guess is, and my suspicion is, that the reason we're hearing about this is because they're probably going to go in a direction where I agree with you, BT. I didn't necessarily want them to go, which is they're going to designate him post June 1, and we're going to split, you know, $49 million over the next 2 years.
Yep.
So that, you know, bugs me a little bit. But at the same time, the other thought I had is that the salary cap's probably going to go up, you know, next year. So my guess would be that $35 million is not as painful as we kind of think it might be at this point. So really what it does, though, is beg the question. Now, Tyrod Taylor's there, great. But as far as the free agent market and, like, what they're going to do outside of Tyrod Taylor, like, to me, there's only one option. Like, it's not Carson Wentz. It's not Kurt, like, give me a break on Kirk Cousins. Like, I understand some of that, you know, that tie into the coach they brought in or the consultant, whatever it is. I have no interest in Kirk Cousins. His arm seems to be toast to me. So the only option to me is Justin Fields. And it does intrigue me a little bit.
Yep.
And particularly, which I suppose is somewhat ironic with the Jets, is that they passed on him for Zach Wilson, right? And at the time, that regime didn't seem to think Justin Fields was all that good. They didn't think that, you know, his acuity was there. That may have changed, you know, and I think he would be a nice fit with Tyrod Taylor, who we know is going to get hurt halfway through the season. So I was interested in your take on that, BT. Like, who is the option, you know, outside of Tyrod Taylor? I think the only one is Justin Fields.
Well, let me put it this way. Thanks for the call. There's nobody that excites me to the point where I'm like, okay, this is the money move. So once you start and establish that position, well, secondarily, what's appealing, and then what is attainable? Now, Stafford's appealing. I don't think it's attainable, number one. Fields is kind of appealing, and I think he is attainable. And I've always said, like, even when I wanted Rodgers back, I'm like, if they don't go with Rodgers, Fields is the guy that I have most interest in. Darnold's appealing, but not for the amount of money he's going to get. The not interested in Derek Carr, want no part of Kirk Cousins. It actually worries me that they might do that because he's going to be so cheap. I don't want to watch him play. I tell you this much, you're going to think I'm nuts. Although I said this a while ago, I don't know if you remember. I would actually, and Russell Wilson, forget. I would rather the Jets go after Daniel Jones.
I was going to bring him up.
Then
you did say
a lot of other players.
There was a point where I forget at what point in the season, but I still wanted Rodgers back, and you're like, just give me Daniel Jones instead. Maybe that's a realistic option. I would do anything to not have Daniel Jones set foot in New York ever again. As far as a football player, like, he could visit the city. Like,
no, I just not don't nice want, of you. He's allowed back. You're gonna ban him from all city limits?
No, that's good guy. I just don't want to watch him play football. I don't want to have to watch him play football for a team that I want to root for the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
Giants, Jets, I don't want to see Daniel Jones anywhere
near. What about Schwartz's new team out on Long Island?
Yeah, you can go there. I don't care about that. That's fine. I'm not going to watch a second of them. But would you want Daniel? You would actually entertain Daniel Jones?
I'm happy you start to say want, and then you move to entertain.
Yeah.
Do I want Daniel Jones? No. Would I entertain Jones? I would.
Would you want Fields?
Before Daniel Jones,
one,
for sure.
One quick thing before your answer on that, because you brought him up, Kirk Cousins, and the caller brought it up too. Remember, Kirk Cousins, similar to Aaron Rodgers, coming off a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
And remember what Rodgers alerted us to in the special, the Enigma, going through that rigorous rehab and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't take a chance on Kirk Cousins either.
Yep.
But there's a chance he's going to be out there for basically nothing.
I know.
And even though he looked bad last year, a full offseason to recover physically where he's not trying to rehab and get back.
Yeah.
Maybe he performs better. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I'm happy you throw it out there. I mean, the only thing that I would push back there is that, you know, Rodgers, in the first half of the year, Rodgers looked basically broken and old and done because he hadn't trusted his Achilles yet, and then played a lot better as the year went on. Kirk Cousins went the other way. Kirk Cousins got worse as the year went on. So it almost kind of contradicts the thought that it took him a while to get comfortable with his body. Plus, he doesn't have the arm talent that Rodgers has.
I was going
to
say, he's also not as good as Rodgers.
He's not as good. Now, I did see an article, and who knows, but like, once the Falcons move on from him, I believe Atlanta's going to owe him $27 million. And then I saw it was one of the Jets. It may have been Samini who had this. And whoever it was, they're like, well, then the Jets could find a way to get possibly Kirk Cousins for like $1.2 million. And I'm if that's financially plausible, I don't know. You don't pay a backup. Tyrod Taylor's making triple, quadruple that. Kirk Cousins gonna get 1.2. So I preface all that because if he actually did get 1.2, I'd say, yeah, of course you bring in Kirk Cousins for 1.2, 2.2, 5.2. You bring him in. But I just don't know how they could work that. The thing about Jones, why Jones is somewhat appealing. Number one, he knows the market, and he's dull and boring. Yeah. Is what he is, but he's not overwhelmed by the spotlight. Number one, so he can handle New York, right? And then the other thing too is because you didn't draft Daniel Jones, you didn't draft him sixth overall, you didn't just give him a big contract like the Giants did. And this is going to sound callous. You don't really care if he gets hurt because you're using him for a year, which means you could have him run all day. And maybe that's a way to piece together a competitive season.
Yeah, I guess. I would not go that way at all. I'd rather just go Justin Fields. Now, he may cost you more, but I think it's better to me. I just don't want to see Daniel Jones anymore. I'll admit there's biasness in there. I've watched him with the Giants. I can't do another season. I want this football season, more than anything else, to be Daniel Jones free. For both the Jets and the Giants, WFAN, New York sports fans, I need the next football season to be Daniel Jones free. I cannot do it again. Imagine he comes here and is the starting quarterback of the Jets. We have to have the conversation about Daniel Jones, but from a Jets perspective, I can't.
After the Rodgers conversations?
Oh, my God.
I mean, but at least you wouldn't be as personally tormented as I probably would be, because I know you want the Jets to do well, but you know how I am with the Jets. So, I mean, if anybody's going to bear the brunt of that end, it's me.
And maybe I do want him here. Torment you a little bit.
Oh, man.
You could enjoy
that. Forget about the stuff about Jones and the repetitive nature, which I get, the conversation. Just for 1 year, better for the Jets next year. Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones.
I wouldn't want any part of Kirk Cousins. Although,
that's what I'm saying.
Although, if I'm putting the two head-to-head, I do think Kirk Cousins is a clear leader and a proven, I hate even using this word, but people are using it, might as well, culture changer.
Yeah.
Like, I think Kirk Cousins comes in immediately. He did help do that in Atlanta. The energy of the fan base went up a little bit. Now, obviously, he didn't perform well, and they happen to have the luxury of Michael Penix coming in behind him, and he's just better at this point. You'd much rather have that. But I do think Kirk Cousins will elevate similar. Look, Matthew Stafford's a Super Bowl winner and a better quarterback, but the same way we're talking about what Stafford would do for the Giants immediately, even with a roster that is less than otherwise, I think Kirk Cousins comes here and just sets a foundation of credibility.
Professionalism.
Yeah, exactly. Part of professionalism, that's a perfect word to use.
I think Daniel Jones would bring that professionalism.
Yeah, but
maybe not the juice behind it, but
he can't throw the football. And like Cousins throws some pick sixes and horrible interceptions, not to the level of Jameis Winston. And Daniel Jones just doesn't throw it at all. I would rather take a chance on a cheap Kirk Cousins than I would take a flyer on Daniel Jones.
Now, given those options, give me a slightly more expensive but a lot more upside young, you know, young bull in Justin Fields. Yeah, right. Take the young athlete who could run around and, you know, 25, 26, yeah. Got a little something to prove.
Maybe some upside.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd rather Fields versus Jones.
Oh, God. I mean, I'd rather Fields over really anybody because I don't think Stafford's realistic money. And you just can't go back to Darnold. And you can't pay Darnold that kind of money. There's no way.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation. We'll get to your calls, I promise. I know some of you guys have been holding on a long time here with the Knicks. We'll get to that when we come back. Knicks, Jets, some baseball, all of the topics. In case you missed it, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. But we'll continue it for the final hour here on the Fan.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Enjoy USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound, which pairs well with Josh Cabernet, 750-milliliter bottles priced at $14.99 each, or buy six or more mix and match for just $13.49 each plus CRV. Signature Select Value Pack Boneless Pork Top Loin Chops, $3.99 per pound. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.